Next on Gospel of Life, we'll explore the connections between civil rights, pro-life, and Christian unity. I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director. And today, Janet, we're going to share some thoughts about how three important observances converge every January in our nation.
That's right. Well, the one is the March for Life, which is held in Washington, D.C. and places all around the country. And I know, Father, that's how you first got active in the pro-life movement, was attending a March for Life when you were in high school,
yes,
which invigorated
right.
you and mm-hmm. really set you focused on the cause. We also celebrate, of course, the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King, civil rights activist. And then finally, there's a special Sunday set aside for Christian unity.
Yes, which is the week of prayer for Christian unity
right.
from the 18th to the 25th. So all of these do have connections, and we explore those connections each year.
That's right. And in particular, recently, Father, you had an opportunity to really preach on those three themes and how they tie together. So why don't we take a look at that recent wonderful preaching you did right now.
Brothers and sisters, we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 3 that the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Hence we read in the third chapter of Luke, starting in verse 2 and going through verse 6. Brothers and sisters, every year in the month of January, there are three observances which come at the same time and which providentially very strongly reinforce each other, each of these observances helping us better to understand the others. I speak about the week of prayer for a Christian unity, which every January from the 18th to the 25th is celebrated and observed by Christians of many different denominations. I speak of the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a national hero who worked for and proclaimed the equality of every human life, the dignity of every human person, no matter what differences there might be in their skin color or in any other characteristic. And finally, the annual commemoration, the tragic remembrance of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, which in 1973 legalized the practice of abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason or no reason at all, and which has resulted since then in the deaths of over 50 million children, not just their deaths, their violent killings. And so we have every January people observing and commemorating in one way or another all of these three events, but not all the people observing each of these events observe the other two, and far fewer people ever stop to think about the connection between all these three observances. So let's look a little bit more closely at them. On our pastoral staff here at Gospel of Life Ministries, we have Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. And why is she working now on Gospel of Life Ministries, whose purpose is to end abortion? Because she says something very simple yet very profound. She says, my Uncle Martin, my dad, Reverend A.D. King, and all those who worked with them in the civil rights effort were not just working for the equality of the black man. They were working for the equality of every human being. They were defending the truth that human beings are equal, no matter what differences there might be of skin color, of ethnic background, of social status, of language they speak, no matter what. They were working for the equality of every human life. So Alvita says, therefore, if in our day that equality is being denied by something else, namely that some human beings, the children in the womb, have been declared to be non-persons and therefore deprived of the protection of the law, then the thrust of the civil rights effort today would be to restore equality to them. And so when Dr. Alvita King began working with us, I was marching with her arm in arm at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. And we were walking up Constitution Avenue in the midst of a vast crowd, as there is every year on that occasion. And I turned to her and I said, Alvita, does this remind you of the civil rights marches with your uncle? And she turned to me and said, Father Frank, this is the civil rights movement. This is a civil rights march. The civil rights movement of today is to restore and acknowledge in law and in practice the civil rights of that unborn child. In other words, right at the same time that our nation honors Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and resolves in so many ways to continue to implement that dream that he articulated, we remember a day when the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade contradicted everything that Dr. King fought for by contradicting, again, the principle of equality. And the pro-life people, the people who gather and march on January 22nd each year in Washington in protest of that decision, are saying the same thing the civil rights marchers said. We are refuse to believe that the funds of America are insufficient for these children. Remember what Dr. King said in that I Have a Dream speech? He said, we've come here to cash a check. We as a people are asking for equal recognition under the law, and we have been told that there are insufficient funds. We refuse to believe that. America is greater than that. America can give us an equal place at the table, can give us an equal part in its life, can give us equal recognition of our dignity, equal participation in the way society operates, whether it's in the educational institutions or in the businesses or in the voting booth. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds. And so today, those who march for life refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds for the unborn child. We can't say we don't have room for them. We can't say we don't have time for them. We can't say we don't have resources for them. We can't say that our laws somehow do not envision the children living and growing in their first 9 months aren't human like the rest of us. No, there aren't insufficient funds. There are very sufficient funds, and we will insist that those funds be given for the unborn. And so civil rights begin with the right to life, and that's why the observance of Dr. King's holiday and the observance of the Roe v. Wade Memorial go hand in hand. And this all in the context of the celebration each year from the 18th to the 25th of January, of the week of prayer for Christian unity. On the night before he died, Jesus prayed, Father, may they all be one, even as you are in me and I in you. May they be one in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, when the world looks at Christians, when the world looks at the disciples of Jesus, is it going to see some fragmented group of people fighting one another and always arguing with each other, not even able to come to agreement with each other on who they are and what they're about? How convincing is it going to be to the world that Jesus really is who these Christians say he is when they're fighting among themselves? What about if, on the other hand, the world looked at the followers of Christ and saw a body united in love, so united that they're willing to give their lives for each other, so united that they are proclaiming with one voice and with one heart to the rest of the world, come to the cross, because there someone died for you. Come to the empty tomb and see that he is alive for you. Come to him and put your faith in him, because in him we and you will have eternal life. Come into this church, because here we have the beginning on earth of the kingdom of God. which will bring justice and peace and love and salvation to the entire human family. Christian unity is geared towards evangelization. Christian unity is geared towards bringing the rest of the world into unity with this Jesus whom we proclaim. And if the rest of the world is in unity with this Jesus we proclaim, then we'll stop killing one another. Then we'll stop oppressing one another. Then we'll stop getting into time and time again the same mistake that humanity has made over and over when we have excluded people from the equal protection of the law, whether they be our black brothers and sisters or women or workers or children or our Jewish brothers and sisters. At various times in history, we keep falling into this trap that somehow not all human beings are equal to the rest of human beings. In other words, prayer for Christian unity is not just about something spiritual or conceptual or something that happens around the altar inside the churches. Yes, it does involve that too. We pray for the day when all Christians will be able to worship around a single altar and receive a single sacrament. But brothers and sisters, it's about Christians joining hands and hearts and resources and working together in the world to bring about justice. And this is where we see that the building of Christian unity doesn't just happen around theological dialogues that occur in order for Christians to better understand exactly where the lines of difference and similarity are in what they believe about the Bible and the sacraments and salvation and faith and the church. It does involve that. But it's not just theological dialogues. It's working together for change in the world. And therefore, we see in the civil rights movement, Dr. King marching not just with those of his own denominational preference, but as he said in that I Have a Dream speech, I have a dream that Catholics and Protestants and all people will work together for this equality. So the working against injustice like segregation and injustice like abortion brings people together across denominational lines. It's an opportunity for that very Christian unity to express itself, and it is expressing itself in that way. So in the pro-life movement, in the March for Life in Washington, you'll see Catholics and Protestants and Jewish people and Hindus and Muslims. You'll see people even of no faith at all marching and working together. You'll see in the pregnancy centers, Christians of every denomination working together to provide alternatives to abortion. You'll see in healing ministries after abortion, like Rachel's Vineyard, which we are privileged to operate, Christians of every denomination bringing people to the cross so that they can find the hope and reconciliation they long for. You'll see in the legislative and political arena, Christians from all denominations joining hands in efforts to pass laws that will protect life and to elect candidates who understand that the first purpose of government is the protection of human life. And we saw in the rescue movement, when Christians actually blockaded the doors of abortion facilities so that the killers could not get in. We saw Christians going to jail together. And when they were in jail together, they prayed together. And as they prayed together and they talked about the Lord, they better understood each other. They better understood the differences and the similarities between denominations. Let's sum it up in this way. There are things that are different in all the denominations, and Christian unity doesn't mean just forgetting about the differences, pretending they're not there, or saying they're not important. They are important. But what it means is focusing in on the fact that we together do proclaim truths in common, namely that God became one of us in Jesus Christ and revealed himself in Christ in all his fullness. That in Jesus Christ alone is God reconciling humanity to himself. That in Christ alone we find the forgiveness of sins. That in Christ alone we find eternal life. That this Jesus, whose death and resurrection we proclaim, is coming back and will gather us all to himself. These things we profess and proclaim in common, and therefore in common we can stand against segregation. In common we can stand against prejudice. In common we can stand against prejudice against the unborn. We can stand for life. We can stand for the fact that over human life, there is only one who has dominion, and his name is Jesus. And so as our nation honors Dr. King and marches for life and prays for Christian unity, we can understand in all of these things that we in Christ can proclaim the kingdom of justice. That's what this month of January brings to us in the convergence of these observances. May we pray and work for justice, for life, for Christ. Well, yes, friends, it is a blessed time of year, and we encourage you to go to our website, to gospelof life.com, to find more resources that you can use to more deeply understand and help others to understand the interrelationship between these very special events. gospelof life.com.
Well, you know, Father, I know you mentioned Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, Jr., who is a pastoral associate of ours and is available. People who are watching right now would like to have Dr. King come and speak in their community.
That's right.
She's available. She speaks at banquets, church groups, church services. She herself is an ordained minister. She has a beautiful voice. She does the gospel singing, and she's a great resource. And also, we have a good friendship with her mother, Naomi King, who also now, within the Atlanta area, has become more and more of a voice for the unborn.
At gospelof life.com, they can find the schedule of Dr. King's speaking engagements around the country and also an online form by which they can invite her to their events. And, you know, really, in Alveda, we see the convergence of these three themes we've been talking about in this program, because she is not a Catholic herself.
Yeah.
And yet here she is working with a group of priests and Catholics predominantly on our staff. So, and she's very comfortable in that.
She is,
and she understands the basis that, you know, here we're together worshiping and affirming Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the scriptures, her love of the word, which is a love that we have for the word. And of course, in her remarks, you know, she'll talk about civil rights when she goes into a community. She'll talk about pro-life, and she'll talk about the deep connection between the two.
That's right. And of course, in addition, she also will talk about a woman who herself, who has experienced abortion and has come back to the Lord and repented, mm-hmm. and her regret over that. And both she and her mother are really becoming advocates for the women who went down the wrong road, encouraging them to come back to the Lord and come for healing.
So once again, friends, gospelof life.com to invite Alveda or to invite any of us to come to your community to speak on these important topics that we've reflected on today. Well, stay with us for our action segment, in which we give you more ideas about how to advance the culture of life. We'll be right back.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. One thing every believer can do to stop abortion is to pray that it stop. But we want to talk today about a very focused and specific way to do that and to invite others to do it. Janet, prayercampaign.org is our prayer website. Let's talk about how we use that and what we invite believers to do.
Well, first of all, we have two practical prayers up there that can be said every day throughout the year. That's the prayer to end abortion and the prayer for the closing of an abortion mill. In addition to those prayers being up on our website, we have prayer cards with those prayers on them for the end to abortion and the closing of the mill. And we will send it to them absolutely free of charge. And then they could take those prayer cards and tape them inside the hymn books in their church. I know many churches, what they do now as part of their church service, they say that prayer at the end of every service so that everyone is aware.
It can be said in church, it can be said in the family, it can be said in pro-life groups, in schools, and, of course, by individuals. But let's talk about specifically, first of all, the prayer to end abortion every day is the one we want every believer to say every day. Because if we get people saying it every day, then you have people thinking about abortion every day, and they're going to look to do other things as well. So it's going to draw them in, it's going to get them involved. And the prayer doesn't simply ask God to end abortion. It is a prayer of commitment that the individual will speak up and do things to protect the unborn. Now, the other prayer you mentioned is if there is a specific abortion mill in one's community, it enables them as individuals, families, or as an entire church congregation, it enables them to focus in on that place and pray for the conversion and closing of that particular killing center.
Right. When you said the pray for the conversion now, Father, we're talking about the abortionist himself, but we're also talking about the conversion of all the people who work inside that abortion clinic.
That's right.
You know, and of course, obviously, then praying for the men and women who are going there to destroy their children, praying for their conversion of heart also.
Right.
Now, like you had said, each person can have those prayer cards. I know people that keep them on their night table so that they can say that prayer when they get up in the morning or before they go to bed at night. Someone told me that they have it taped to their medicine cabinet in their bathroom so that as they're brushing their teeth, they say that prayer. Because people say, oh, where am I going to have the time to add this to my prayer life with all the other prayers I say? I know someone, while they brush their teeth, they say their prayers. But like I said, the pastors, we really need the ministers to get involved and use those prayers in their church services. But in addition, on the website, prayercampaign.org, we post different prayers every month that also coordinate with the theme. So, for example, around election season, we'll have prayers for the election. Thanksgiving, we'll have a special prayer for Thanksgiving. When it gets to the Christmas season and to the new year, what better time to have a special prayer for life as you start a new year? You know, I know very often, Father, you preached about the idea that a new year represents that God gives you a book with empty pages to write on. And what better way to have a focused prayer to say as you start that new year?
Mm-hmm. On the prayercampaign.org website, people can let us know that they've signed up to do this. And that also helps, too. It helps us to be then in communication if they wish. Otherwise, they can just download the prayer and use it in the different ways that you've described.
That's right.
Prayer is a foundation of everything that we do, obviously. It's not a substitute for doing other things. In fact, when we pray, we are going to be led into more action, and that's certainly what we hope will happen here.
That's right.
Thanks very much, Janet. Friends, we ask you to promote not only prayercampaign.org on your websites and to your email lists and in your newsletters, but also gospeloflife.com, which is our ministry website. We ask you to promote this program. And may we ask you also for your financial support, because this ministry relies completely on believers like you to keep it going. We rely on you to be able to produce these programs, to be able to travel the nation, do the pro-life work that we do, send out the literature that we send. Go to gospeloflife.com. You'll be able to either send us checks in support of this work or donate online and pledge to donate monthly if you so desire. Our pastoral team is also willing to come to your community. Let us know if you'd like that to happen, and we'll see you again next week.
You were looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.